And hello, welcome to the Lionel Shipman Ship Shape Your Finances Show on the CWR Network. I am your host, Lionel Shipman. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Thank God for another day and for this opportunity to host this show. Another day to make a difference and a positive impact in the lives of others. Tonight, we have a very special guest on the show in our last segment, a business professional and hometown friend of mine, Miss Melody Holt, is here tonight. Should you have any questions or comments tonight, please call in at 917-889-8078. That number again, the call-in number, should you have any questions or comments. The number is 917-889-8078. I want to give a big shout out to my biggest supporters, my wife and my children. And I want to give a big shout out to all of the other hosts of the CWR Network. Please visit the CWR Network website at www.cwrtalknetwork.com for details of the other hosts and their shows. Please submit your questions and comments regarding my show by visiting my website at www.shipmanconsulting.com. Click on the Contact Us page and send me your questions or comments. Also, if you missed any past episodes of my show, I have archived all of my shows on my website. You can listen to the shows while you're driving or while you're exercising or while you're working or at any time you desire. Please connect with me on any social media platform for the most part. You can visit my website, shipmanconsulting.com. I'm also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So please share the word regarding this show. I want you also, if you haven't had the opportunity, to check out my new book, Sacred Vows, The Knot or Not. It is a relationship communication book for couples. It addresses four critical areas, which are family, finances, lifestyle, and sex and intimacy. You can get my book on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. And also connect with me on Facebook, where you can join the ongoing discussion around the book. Now let's talk about the segment that I call In the News. While perusing through the news last week, I came across this article from USA Today where it talked about why your paycheck is disappearing. Now, of course, that caught my eye because I don't want my paycheck to be disappearing on me, and I'm quite sure you don't as well. But they kind of listed off some reasons why our paycheck seem to be disappearing. So there's three things that I want to talk about, or three reasons that they gave why this seems to happen. Well, number one, it's a common theme, meaning, you know, every payday comes around, you start to think about all of the things that you would like to do with your money. Now, we think about, you know, paying your bills and so forth and so on. But then reality kicks in. You know, you wanted to go to that concert, you wanted to go to the park or some type of entertainment venue, but reality kicked in, and then all of a sudden, all of your money plans goes right through your hands, and lo and behold, you have very little money left over. This kind of reminds me of when I do a lot of speaking with students. I always play this particular game with them. Have you ever played the game where you put forth your thumb and your pointer finger? You place those out, and I get a dollar bill, or preferably a $1 bill, not a $5 bill, but I get a $1 bill, a crisp bill, and I see if they are able to catch it with their two fingers. You may feel that way with your paycheck on a month-by-month basis. Number two. The second reason why it seems like your paycheck is disappearing, Real wages have only grown 0.2% annually. And when you factor in inflation, they have only grown 10% over the last 40 years. Now, that's, to me, that's just unbelievable that when you adjust for weight, when you adjust for inflation, your wages have actually grown roughly 10%, but over 40 years. That means that real average earnings have remained virtually unchanged over the last 40 years. Now, that was as reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And you're probably wondering, well, how can that be? I do get, you know, raises every now and then. Well, this is due in part to inflation. Inflation has a tendency to increase, or it has increased more than your wages. And number three, the third reason why it seems like your paycheck is disappearing. Everyday products and services that we, you know, buy on an everyday basis, they cost a little bit more today, it seems like, and they seem to increase year after year compared to the increase in our wages. You know, you look at the price of milk, you look at clothing, you look at the price of gas. All these things have increased more over the years compared to the average wage. Now, I will address consumer products in a future episode. That should be coming up hopefully in January. So make sure you follow me, follow this show on a weekly basis. That's every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, my thoughts around that article. Here are my thoughts. I understand that the cost may increase more than average wages over the years. However, that should not remove our personal responsibility and accountability. We need to work with what we have and make adjustments along the way. Manage our money more responsibly. Live on a budget. Be cost conscious. Cut unnecessary expenses. And most importantly, live within your means. I repeat that again. Live within your means. Well, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back with our special guest here tonight. Please stick around.
For all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances Show with your host, Lionel Shipman, on the CWR Network.
Okay. Well, tonight we have a very special guest here on my show tonight. She is an ex English teacher turned entrepreneur. And I'm so glad to say that we share the same hometown of Brundage, Alabama. I know many of you probably wondering, well, where in the world is Brundage, Alabama? Well, this evening, we're representing big tonight. Melody has combined both her strong work ethic, communication, and leadership skills to make her company, Holt & Holt, a regional empire. She's a graduate of Alabama A&M University with a Bachelor of Science degree in education And at the age of 25, she resigned from teaching to fully focus on growing Holt and Holt. She has grown her company from a local company to a regional company, providing services throughout the Southeast. Melody has worked faithfully and continuously to ensure that the company is delivering both quality and quantity to its clients. Her goal is to demonstrate to young entrepreneurs that failure never should be an option. I say a big amen to that. In her spare time, she enjoys motivational speaking and spending time with her family. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. She's married to Mr. Martell Holt, and they have two beautiful children, Mariah and Martell II. Welcome to the show, Miss Melody Holt. How you doing, Melody?
Hi. Hey there. I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing absolutely wonderful. Excited to have you here on the show tonight.
Well, let me tell you, I am just as excited to be on the show tonight. I am looking forward to this wonderful segment, and I am looking forward to pouring some knowledge and valuable tools into all of your listeners. So, yay, I'm ready.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. And just to let our listeners know, as I've always said on a lot of my shows, we have more information than we do time. So Melody has agreed that not only will she be here on the show tonight, but we're hopefully going to have her back on next Tuesday night as well. So thank
That's
you so
right.
much, Melody.
Most definitely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
great. Yeah. So it's so good to have a not only a business professional, but a hometown person, as I mentioned about Brundage, Alabama. A lot of people don't know where it is, but we're representing tonight. So thank you again so much for joining.
Oh, yes, sir, no. Most definitely. And, you know, like you said, we're from a small town, but I feel like you and I both demonstrate that jewels can come from small towns, right?
Amen to that. Amen to that. So tell me, just to get some background information and catch us up to date to where you and your husband, where you are right now, I want to go back a little bit. Now, you started your professional life as an English teacher. Now,
yes,
what inspired you, first of all, to be a teacher?
Well, you know, when I think back to my middle school and my high school years, I've always been, you know, talented in diverse ways. So I actually had a few ideas in terms of what I thought I wanted to do with my life and as a career, right? Well, when I hit high school, I noticed that I had a love for writing and for editing, and that was something that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I actually had an English teacher, Miss Golden, who inspired me a lot, just the way she was able to captivate our attention and to actually make us love English. So I said, you know what? I love English. And I know that I would do great at teaching, and I love encouraging and being an inspiration, and I have, you know, an innate ability to just actually explain things very well. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be an English teacher. I'm going to combine those two and teach English. So from there, I embarked upon my educational career and went to Alabama A&M and studied in English education and received my degree. And I actually taught, like you said, I taught for 3 years, middle school English. And I loved every bit of it. I tell people to this day, because now people will say, well, hey, you know, do you miss teaching? And I tell people, I say, you know, I miss my students. Because I always, you know, I was always able to connect with them and be able to help them, you know, see things in themselves that they, you know, originally couldn't see. I remember one student, for example, I took him from a third grade reading level to a seventh grade reading level in one academic year. And so I was able to make that impact. And I tell people, yeah, I miss my students. But what I see now is that God has set me up on another platform to still be able to inspire and encourage, but even in a larger quantity and volume. So, you know, I'm still doing what I love doing, which is, you know, writing speeches and still, you know, being able to use my love for writing and encourage and inspire. So it's worked out very well.
Yeah, sure it has. And we're so, so proud, Melody, of your accomplishments and all. You've ever since we had a chance to meet and talk on the phone, and looking at the work that you've done over the years, hats off. You're doing an excellent job, not only there in your community, but abroad. There are people, I always tell you, there are people that you may never know that they're learning a lot from you, and you're an inspiration to so many people out there. So thank you so much for your beginnings and looking at where you are now. So now tell me, now how did you and Martell get started in business? Because I know you're an English teacher first, and then tell me what you did thereafter.
Well, so I was teaching English, and Martell has a degree in special education. And during the time that after I graduated a year before him. And so he'd actually started a cleaning business. So when I would come in town some, I went home for a semester and taught back home. And we got engaged the day I graduated. So I would come back in town sometimes and help him work the cleaning business. And he's always, you know, perform lawn services for different family members and for different friends. So I would also assist in that as well. And here's where the benefit of networking, I say, comes into play, and how important it is to be at the right place that God wants you to be at the right time. So in 2010, we actually were talking to one of his fraternity brothers. He saw us at a gas station and just started talking with us. And he said, hey, you guys perform lawn services. You need to talk to my mom out in Texas because she does this on foreclosed properties for HUD. And we were like, oh, really? Well, yes, give us her number. We need to talk to her. So we got her number, called her that night. She'd never, of course, heard of us before in her life. But we told her that we met her son, Patrick, and he told us what she did, and we needed to talk with her. And it's so funny because we are still, like, friends with her to this day. I talk to her almost every other day still.
Fantastic.
And that was in 2010, and she kind of told us about this industry that neither one of us had ever heard of called property preservation. And from there, and this is why I also say it's important that if there's something you know you really want to do, though you may not have been trained professionally for that, that's when you start putting your work and your research in. So we immediately started researching property preservation, what this industry looked like, researching companies who've been successful in the industry and how they became successful. And so from there, we grew an interest to say, you know what, we're going to do this and we're going to give it a shot, because we knew that for the level of living that we wanted for our lives, and we knew that for the amount of community involvement and being able to be active in the community and give back, that we were going to need another source of income. So we started getting into property preservation, and before we knew it, we were covering North Alabama, then full state Alabama. Now we cover 7 different states, and you know, it just has continued to grow. But one thing led to the other, and the first thing was us taking that time to not say, okay, I don't have time to talk to you tonight, but hey, being in the right place at the right time and communicating and sharing our ideas and what it was that we were wanting to do. And so we learned that industry, Lionel, and we jumped in full-fledged, and I resigned. Martell ended up resigning in December. That was October 2010. He ended up resigning in December 2010, and I was able to resign that next April of 2011. So everything happened very, very quickly for us.
But that's fantastic beginning, though. I mean, especially when you hit on, and hopefully the listeners are picking up some of the nuggets that you threw out there just alone. You mentioned about networking, a very critical thing that we need to do, being a professional, being a business owner, and then just being an all-around person, the power and the effectiveness of networking. And then also you mentioned about researching things that you're not familiar with, so you can become more familiar with that. That's great nuggets out there: the networking piece and the researching piece. Now I have to say this:
you'd be surprised just how much is out there already that you can start learning for whatever it is you're wanting to do, whether that is creating a clothing line or a product line, creating, you know, a hair brand, whatever it may be. There's so much research and information that you can already start doing to get those basics, you know, and that's important. I think that's critical when it comes to trying to branch out and start something new.
Good, good. Now, I know from those beginnings and over the years, there were some ups and downs and some challenges and some obstacles. Now, what obstacles did you guys, you know, if you can, you probably have many, but if you can give me maybe two or three. Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. Hey, that's why I'm going to have you back on next week.
Yes, now, I do, you know, because for us, I feel like it's so, our story is just so, you know, interesting because here you are, you have two people who weren't trained in business. You know, neither one of us have degrees in business, and we really had to learn a lot of things from trial and error, but I feel like though we went through certain things to allow us to help others and to show them so they don't have to go through those same, you know, traps and falls, and they can actually learn from our mistakes. And so one of the challenges, to be honest, that I would say, I'm going to try to keep only to two or three, but one of them to begin with was the challenge of lack of resources. So here we were, 22 and 25. You know, just starting out teaching, just getting married, and we knew that we wanted more for ourselves, and we knew that we wanted, you know, more for our family, our future family. You know, now we have three children. And so for us, we had to figure out ways, okay, how do we, you know, use this little bit of money here that we have coming in and find ways to invest it into the equipment that we may need, right? Into, you know, purchasing our first, I can still remember when we went from a push mower, and I would be out there pushing, Lionel, man. I would be out there. I can remember when we went from a push mower to a riding mower, and then eventually we were able to purchase our first zero turn, and we felt like when we got that zero turn, we felt like we were really doing something, right? But
absolutely.
I can remember not having, you know, we didn't have parents who could say, hey, you want to start a business? Okay, here's $10,000, $20,000 for you. Go ahead and do it, baby. Here it is.
Right.
We didn't have that. You know, with both of us coming from single-parent homes, we had to figure out, okay, how do we use the teacher salaries that we're getting and then maybe the money we're getting from, you know, the few family and friends loans that we're doing to invest into the Holden Hope brand and get it to the place we want it to be. So that was one challenge, and we were able to overcome that and, you know, figure out ways. I can still remember, you know, even our the first place we went to and got our very first loan. We didn't start out getting a loan, but eventually when we did, we got our zero turn, and we were able to pay it off rather quickly because we put that zero turn to work, you know.
Absolutely.
But that's one challenge. So, you know, no excuses there. And then – another challenge we had, of course, like I said, was a lack of business training because we didn't have degrees in business management or accounting. So we had to figure out and we had to learn, okay, what is this supposed to look like? Setting it up, you know, should you be LLC? Should we be incorporated? Is that anything we should be worried about right now? Should we just be a sole proprietor? So we had to also, again, research. Study what those differences were and what fit best for Holt and Holt. But we didn't have, again, we didn't have anybody, you know, a parent to say, okay, now you do this. Okay, this is your next step. But still, that was no excuse. Because we didn't have that, we didn't use that as a crutch or I guess I should say as a way to say, you know what, well, I can't get this far because I don't have this. No, we had to overcome that and figure it out. Make it happen, so to speak.
Yeah, I can hear you saying something. You were disciplined and you were determined.
That's right. Yes, sir. We were determined, and it did take a lot of discipline. You know, the reason we resigned, to be honest, Lionel, is because it got to the point where we were having 18, 19-hour days every day because when we started the business, we were teaching. So we were teaching, getting off work from school, going out, doing these foreclosed properties, doing the lawns, doing the cleans, sometimes in the cold where it was so cold that water would be freezing while we're cleaning the properties because the foreclosures don't have electricity 9 times out of 10. So we had to bring our own water. You know, we had to have generators for lighting should it get dark. And sometimes it got dark, but we were still determined to get those jobs done for our clients on time. And because of that, they would come to us and say, hey, can you expand here? Hey, can you expand in this area now? Because we were determined and we had that discipline where, hey, when we're done doing this at the end of the day, now we've got to go and get lesson plans ready for tomorrow. Get up at 6 wow. in the morning, get to that school by 7:15, teach all day, and do that same thing over again.
Absolutely okay, phenomenal.
No, but you got to want it that badly.
Yeah, I mean, that. And a lot of time, people, you know, other business owners, that they may look at you, look at your husband to see how well, I'd say they look at where you are right now, but they really don't
right.
know what it took to get there. This was not an overnight process. This was not something
no,
that
wasn't.
Was just dropped in your lap. You had to work for where you are right
that's
now.
Right.
And thank God that you've done well. That speaks
yes,
well to your character and your determination and your discipline.
Yes, sir. Well,
great
thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great example. Great example. Now, I have to ask this question here. Now,
okay.
being a business professional myself, you know, for over 20 years now, I've seen my fair share of husband and wife teams. Some were successful and some that unfortunately were not as successful. What advice can you share with our listeners who desire to be in business with their spouse? What advice can you give to them about being in business with their spouse?
Well, you know what? I will say, and I've said this before, there's nothing greater than doing what you love with who you love.
Mm-hmm.
For Martell and myself, I feel that us working so closely together, and, you know, we even share offices, and we still share the same office space. And people sometimes come in there, and they're like, wait, you guys' desks are across from each other? Oh, my gosh, I couldn't imagine, you know, doing that with my wife or doing that with my husband. But for us, I feel like it helped our marriage in generating a closeness like none other as well, because we could look at each other as life partners and business partners. But with that same token, I'm the CEO of the company, and I can remember too, you know, multiple times Martell and I having conversations of like, okay, well, you may wear the hat in the company, but now when you get home, I'll wear the house, okay? I'm staying at the house.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, you know, and it was a learning thing for us because, again, we were young. You know, we got
right.
married when I was 22 and he was 25. So, you know, we
yeah.
were young when we got married. So there were a lot of things that we just had to learn. And I
yeah.
can say now I get it and now I understand it. But it was a challenge, you know, learning
yeah.
how to switch that thing up, you know, whenever you're at home versus when you're at work. And as long as it's not forced. As long as it's
right.
not like, hey, you know, you have to do this or I'm going to make you
right.
do that, it's great working with your partner. I feel like a lot of times it's so funny, I'll bring up something or he'll bring up something and we'll say, oh, my gosh, I was just thinking about that. Or,
uh-huh.
you know, I just thought about that. But, you know, the same way in a regular company, Lionel, everybody can't work together. You know, you
right.
have issues that happen in a general workplace. Everybody can't work together. And
yeah.
sometimes husband and wives, you know, may can't work together. So it really depends on those two individuals. It really, really does.
Very good point. That is a very good point. I look at my wife and I. We've been married now for a little bit or slightly over 18 years. And having my company, Shipman Consulting, she's involved not heavily as the both of you, yet at the same
mm-hmm.
time, when I'm doing things, I always run things by her or I get her input. And to me, it's a love and a respect relationship. And when you can find,
right.
I love how you described it. You probably didn't catch it. You said what you love with who you love.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't
That's
mind,
right.
you, hey, please patent that. That is so, so key. I've never heard anyone phrase it quite like that. I think that is absolutely wonderful when it comes to husband and wife being in a business together, running the business together. It's what you
right.
love with who you love. That is absolutely important. And I have to say, beautiful family. I can't wait to meet your husband.
Thank
and the yeah, and the little ones. Now, you said you have three kids. I had two kids.
We have three children.
You have three children. I
yes,
said two.
Five, four, and one. Yes, sir. Five, four, one. And people ask us all the time, so wait a minute. You know, guys are doing all of this and y'all have three kids. And I tell people all the time, really, Martell and I, you know, he's a very active father. He's that person. He's going to get up, help get them dressed for school. If he needs to take them to school or whatever, if I need to go out of town and speak somewhere, he's like, I got the kids. So we just work well together and we're supportive of each other in every area. So for us, it has worked for us. And I'm not saying it's easy. Don't get me wrong. It ain't
easy. Oh, I know.
Easy. But it has worked well, but they're still very tiny right now. So, you know, they demand a lot of time still.
Oh, yeah. You, I always say you pay your dues. I mean, my kids, I have two girls, one soon to be 17 and one 15. And, of course, now both being in high school, we've, you know, you go through these different phases. You know, you got them young.
Yes.
And they go through the adolescence and they go through middle school. And then when you get to high school, totally different now. My oldest, she's working. She has her own car. So you got all these different dynamics. But you're right. You guys, I have to commend you. You've done it. You're a very good example to those young entrepreneurs out there that, you know, have a business, but you can yet have a family and yet enjoy life. You're living life to the fullest. And thank God that God has blessed you both in what you're doing.
Yes. Now, yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I have to say, time is coming up. We're going to have to cut off. However, I'm so thankful that you will be on next week because I have plenty of other questions that I would like to ask. I think that this was a great segment to introduce you to who you are, what you're all about, and then to share some of the business tips, some of the struggles, some of the obstacles, and also giving good advice of how you overcame those in the beginning part of your business. I say your businesses going forward. So thank you so much for sharing that. Oh, absolutely. And I just want to have all of my listeners to please tune in. This is a great, great time that we've had tonight, and I'm looking forward to next week as well. So with that said, I want to say thank you so much, Melody, for coming in tonight, and we look forward to having you coming in on next week.
Yes, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So that's a wrap for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning into the Lionel Shipman Ship Shape Your Finances show. Remember these words regarding your money and your life. Give cheerfully, spend carefully, and invest wisely. Talk to you next week.